Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we want to look into the letter of Paul to Timothy. Now, in fact, this letter, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus, they're referred to as the pastoral epistles. They have been written with a specific goal in mind to encourage Timothy and Titus in the ministry, which is very supportive of Paul's ministry. Paul realized he couldn't be everywhere, and sometimes he was literally unable to be somewhere because he was in prison. But he was grateful to entrust the work of ministry to faithful men, and Timothy was one of them. Paul describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus, not in any arrogant way whatsoever, but simply a description of his ministry. He founded churches, he fathered pastors, and he built teams in order that the gospel could flourish. And he writes to Timothy, and he describes him as a true son in the faith. This isn't necessarily trying to make Timothy special, but it does indicate that Paul had a hand under the grace of God in Timothy's conversion and in his call to ministry. Now, one of the things that Paul wants Timothy to realize in chapter 1 is that he really wants him to oppose false teaching. He says, I want you to refute those with false doctrines or who devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. He says what you need to do through the love of God is to bring people to a place where they believe what they believe from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. He says, I know that the law of God is very important, but the law of God is not meant to be followed in a legalistic manner that squeezes all life with God out of it. It's a guide to help us know who God is, his character. And if the law is used properly, then yes, it speaks of wrong and shows up sin, but it also is there to correct and to give a foundation for people's lives. Paul is conscious of the grace of God upon him, and he says, once I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, but I was shown mercy. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, of course, he's not boasting there. He's simply wanting Timothy to be aware that Paul, though he's been given a tremendous responsibility in the body of Christ, he doesn't see himself as a superior man. What is superior to him is the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that Jesus has provided. He has a way sometimes of almost breaking into song in verse 17, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Words that could quite easily be transferred into a hymn of praise, and indeed have been down through the years. But he concludes chapter 1 with just a strong comment. He says, Timothy, I'm reminding you that when you were released into ministry, there were prophecies that encouraged you and urged you to live by faith with a good conscience. And that's what I want you to do, because clearly not everyone does, but I want you to live righteously and do the work God's called you to do. Let's pause for some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join us, and we'll look a little more into 1 Timothy chapter 1.
water and drink. Come to the water of life. Come to Jesus, thirsty and dry. Come to the water. Come to the table and eat. Come taste the bread of life. Come to Jesus, hungry and poor. Come taste the bread. Blood red wine. Come drink the promise of life. Come to Jesus, wretched and spent. Come drink the promise of life.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at some of these verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's just get a little more background, if we may, on this book, this letter. It's called 1 Timothy, but it's not by Timothy, it's to Timothy.
Yeah, that's important. Paul recognised that if he was to delegate ministry, then he needed to instruct the ones that he was delegating to. And so this letter is specifically written to help Timothy do the job that Paul has asked him to do.
So Timothy is doing this work. He's a church leader of some kind. But obviously Timothy is not a key figure, perhaps, like Paul was or like Peter was in those days.
Well, not in the early stages. Of course, his ministry grows and he does become a more significant figure. But yes, in the early days, he's a disciple of Paul, and so he's learning. And Paul is writing the letter really with a sense of, I know you're learning, and this is to help you and to encourage you in this work.
Why does Paul call him my true son in the faith?
I believe that this is because it's likely that at some stage Paul had shared the gospel in the household of which Timothy was part, and Timothy had responded and given his life to Christ under the ministry of Paul. And therefore there was that extra special link. Of course, we are grateful for all those who come to Christ through our ministry, but Timothy had come under the ministry of Paul himself.
Mm. Now, the issue he seems to be dealing with here in chapter 1 is this issue of false teachers. What was the false teaching of the time that Paul is encouraging Timothy to guard against?
Well, we don't know every detail, but some were indulging in myths and seemed to got really bogged down with massive genealogies, and it wasn't really edifying, it wasn't going anywhere. And there was a kind of a philosophical approach that just went people like chewed on a bone and went round and round in circles but never got anywhere. And that's one of the major things that Paul is addressing. He was decisive, and he wanted Timothy to be very clear as well.
Is the question of false teaching something that the church faces today, or have we sorted it all out over the time?
No, far from it, sadly. This ministry is still highly, highly important. Has to be done with humility, but at the same time, it's very important to keep people on the guidelines of the truth of God, and it's very easy for people to take a small thing and exaggerate it, take it out of all proportion and make a doctrine out of something that's not really a doctrine at all.
Yeah. The next little section of this chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks about how God had treated him, and but he calls himself the worst of sinners. Why did he see himself as such a terrible sinner?
I think it was the massive contrast that having come to love Christ, it made him aware of how much he'd hated Christ. He wasn't just sort of mildly displeased. He was incredibly strongly full of bitterness towards the idea of Jesus being the Christ. That was just totally horrendous to him. And he came to know that Jesus is the Messiah. And he just never got over, in a wonderful way, that the Christ who he hated so much loved him and had work for him to do.
And in saying that to Timothy, what's he trying to get across to Timothy, do you think?
I think he's simply wanting to lay the foundation that ministry is to do with God's call. And God calls us, whatever our background, whether we have been brought up in a Christian home or whether we have come right out of the world, God calls all sorts of men and women to minister, and we must minister with humility. Whatever our background, we minister out of a sense, God has chosen me for this task.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the letter to Timothy in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.